Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one is coming who is more powerful. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. With a winnowing fork in his hand, he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. That's the image that Matthew leaves us as John announces the good news. If you thought I was bad, wait till Jesus comes. You will get straightened out or thrown out. It's the kind of message that we can become accustomed to in our world. As we think about that end time kind of preaching, John seems to expect that the Messiah will come and will throw out those who are unworthy and gather those who are worthy, and with a winnowing fork in his hand. And of course, we don't see that happen. A little bit later in Matthew, Jesus shows up. Jesus is baptized. The Holy Spirit comes down. All of these cool things happen. And Jesus' winnowing fork does not look anything like what John announced. There is no fire there other than the fire of the Holy Spirit. There is no throwing out of the chaff and the burning. There's only a different kind of winnowing fork, and this is my theory for the day. That it turns out that Jesus' winnowing fork is something altogether different. That Jesus' winnowing fork is love. Now, John is proposing a kind of discipline with which most of us are quite familiar with, those of us of a certain age anyway. You know, the old stick and carrot thing? If you do something wrong, back in the old day, you were reminded in a very clear way that you had done something wrong. It was one of the ways that we sort of try to figure out how to shape people. I think of it this way. John's winnowing fork is meant to remind us that we are unclean and not ready and that we need to be, you know, cleaned up. I think all of us were raised in different ways, but we certainly know how we were disciplined or how we react. So there's two ways you can change people. There's actually multiple ways. But the two ways that we think the most of are with a stick. So I always say, you know, if I yell at you, you will know immediately what I want or what you shouldn't do, right? And especially if I yell at you because I have a huge voice, and so if someone, my kids are doing something wrong, I would say, stop! Only much louder. I don't want to, like, deafen you. And for a moment, just a moment, they would stop. But it didn't change them. As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure they ever felt particularly bad. It was just that momentary, frightened, whoa, my God, Dad's yelling again. And then they went right on with what they were doing anyway. But you know for just a second that you should stop, that you should quit doing what you're doing. But it doesn't call for any real change. That kind of way of changing people doesn't work all that well. I think that way of having your winnowing fork and your fire and your chaff and all of that kind of thing has a very limited effect on most people. For a moment, we think we will do the right thing, but eventually, as Paul reminds us, we will keep going back to doing what we were doing anyway. So when Jesus comes, the one who John is calling us to prepare the way for, he does something very, very different. Jesus doesn't yell at people or throw them out of the church or, you know, whack them over the head with a holy stick. Jesus' winnowing fork is love, which is a much more powerful way to transform us. I have some friends who years and years ago adopted two children from Russia. They had met the children and, you know, done all the things that you could do back then. It was years ago before the laws changed. And when they brought the children home, they were so happy, but they had absolutely no idea how terribly damaged these children were. Brother and sister who had suffered physically and emotionally and spiritually in the orphanages where they had been raised. They were ill. They were just crazy in so many ways in terms of behavioral and spiritual everything. Everything about them, their lives had been so disrupted and so difficult that they just had no real way to understand how to be a human in the world. But it was too late to take them back. This was not Amazon. Chuck him in a box, slip on a sticker. These children had grown up with nothing and had known nothing but difficulty and pain. And so when they came to my friend's house, some people would have just been in despair or tried whatever, but these were people with tremendous resources. She was an attorney. He was a physician. They had all the money you could possibly want. They could afford anything that they wanted to take care of these children, but they figured out fairly quickly what was most transformative. What they had missed their whole life was that they had never been loved. And so my friends loved them. And I mean loved them, and these were not easy children to love. I was always glad that there was at least one child in the world that was less lovable than I was. How my mother survived, I will have no idea. But these friends of ours just loved and loved and loved, and over time, there began to be a transformation. These children came to know who they were and how they wanted to be. They were given the opportunity to express themselves and to be angry and to be difficult and to be all of those things. They were accepted for, in one case, a little bit of a learning disability and behavioral disability. And they grew up knowing what love was for the first time. I think that's what Jesus brings to the table. That's the winnowing fork that Jesus comes to us with. It's not a stick into which we are beaten into spiritual submission. It's not a rule book against which we are measured to figure out if we actually stack up well enough to be part of God's kingdom. It is a relentless and ever-present, pervasive and persistent love and grace, and that's what changes us. That's the transformative power that John is announcing in the world. I'd like to believe, I wish that it was, that that grace and that love worked equally and nicely and fully in all the world. I wish that Isaiah's vision of a utopian kingdom could come to pass, where the wolf lives with the lamb and the leopard lies down with the kid and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. I ache, as you do, I hope, for that vision. But it's not so. It turns out, for all of God's pouring out of love and grace in the world, there is still misery and suffering and hunger. For my friends, these two children grew up to be amazing young people, but the older brother committed suicide. Despite all the love and the care and literally the ability to have whatever he wanted, for all of the freedom that he had had for the whole of his life after he was adopted, he could not, in the end, cope. And he took his own life. In the same way, in our world, despite Christ's pervasive and persistent presence in our own life and in our own world, and in calling us again and again to love one another, the wolf does not lie down with the lamb, and the leopard does not lie down with the kid. And on the few occasions that the calf and the lion and the fatling lie down together, the fatling is very nervous. Has love failed? Is the promise of Christ any less true? Is the failure of this utopian vision or Christ's call for us to love one another, the fact that it has not fully come into being, does that prove that it is not real? When my friend's son killed himself, she sent me a text. She said, Ryan committed suicide, and we don't know why. His sister is heartbroken. They all wondered what could have been done differently. But in the end, they knew this. That though he took his own life, he had received in full measure the love of his family and the love of Christ. They had not failed. In the same way that this utopian vision of Isaiah has not come to pass, does not diminish what God is doing in the world today. Yes, children are hungry and they are being fed. Yes, there are wars brewing everywhere, and yet we continue to strive for peace. The advent of the kingdom that God has promised is coming into being. We have been baptized with water, yes, but also by the Holy Spirit. Christ's winnowing fork of love is in his hand and is calling us ever, ever closer to the kingdom, which God is unfolding now before us. The nursing child shall play over the whole of the asp. And the wolf and the lion and all of us gathered together. We aren't there yet. But as the people of God, we'd live deeply in the promise of God's love through joy and death and war and hope and poverty. And we see signs of that kingdom unfolding all around us. I baptize you with water for repentance, John said. But the one who is more powerful is coming after you. With the winnowing fork of love in his hand, and Christ will be present. Amen.